Greetings, it's Tara Brabazon again, and welcome to this, the second topic in Creative Industries. This session should be fun. We're doing some quite provocative and interesting things today. We're going to look at what is creativity and what is its role in the economy, in the arts, and in education. So today we look at three ideas. Hold on to these words through our session today. Creativity, literacy, and culture. So let's start with creativity, shall we? Creativity is a word that's very difficult to define. It's like intelligence, it's even harder to find. We all have assumed notions about what this term creativity actually means, and unfortunately, our definition is very rarely shared with others. So before we go any further, I'd ask you just to take a breath, pause, close your eyes if you like, and fill your mind with how you define the word creativity. Creativity. Creativity is linked with many other words: innovation, newness, challenge. Many of these terms, of course, are high cultural notions, summoning the image of, you know, a poet sitting on a rock and being creative, darling. You know these people. Black skivvies, long black Italian cigarettes. You might like to think about J.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. Now, these books, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, were written by an academic for a small audience and published in three volumes between 1954 and 1955. Now, Tolkien invented an alternative world, language, and geography around Middle-earth. Yet this high cultural text was transformed through the 1960s and the birth of the counterculture. It became more popular and was reprinted in paperback. Then, by the turn of the 21st century, the films of Peter Jackson fully immersed the words and ideas, the creativity, if you like, of an Oxford Don into popular culture. So, what are we learning? Creativity, as a word, is malleable. For Peter Saville, the legendary designer, creativity was clever. But Saville also offers a more significant and indeed really useful definition. He calls it, quote, and I love this, the kind of moments of creativity that help us understand where we are or who we are at a moment in time, end of quote. He reminds us that creativity is tethered to relevance. Okay, so this is creativity, offering new ideas through the medium of words, sounds, and images. But this definition is not the basis of creative industries. This is an important distinction. So how we define creativity is not terribly useful for how we define creative industries. But the lack of agreed definition around the word creative means that the creative industries are already becoming an ambiguous, changeable, and indeed unstable term. So let's continue with our Lord of the Rings example to show you the difference between creativity and the creative industries. After the success of the filmic trilogy, the New Zealand, Aotearoa New Zealand government and tourist agencies began to mobilise the landscape, the setting used for the films, and brought fans to the country. So creativity was commodified through other industries, like tourism. Therefore, creativity in and of itself is not important to creative industries. How it is commodified or value added becomes the key. So as we move through this first section of our course on concepts, recognize that creativity is a woolly and confusing term. The current deployment is, to cite Jim Shorthose, quote, located within the locus of market mechanisms, end of quote. So, okay, we've done creativity. Remember, another word we were going to look at is culture. And particularly, I want to investigate cultural value, how we are to interpret, how we are to evaluate the products and the outcomes of creativity. Culture, like creativity, is not an entity in itself. It's framed, controlled, used, bought, sold. It's part of a political struggle, and as an idea, it's been contested for well over a century. Too often, we throw the word culture into sentences without thinking too much about the complex meanings and history that come from that very simple word. So let's monitor some of these debates and start with some pretty basic definitions. Okay. Raymond Williams, the British Marxist cultural critic, believed that culture was one of the two or three most complex words in the language. Culture is used in many contexts. We've got agriculture, a cultured pearl, youth culture, intellectual culture, street culture, Australian culture, post-colonial culture. Ooh, so culture works with all these phrases. It's contextually determined. Ooh, what's that mean? Contextually determined. That is, where it is used determines what it means. I'll say that again. Contextually determined. Where it is used determines what it means. So therefore, there are many, many answers to our question, what is culture? In fact, if the term has a single definition, then it must be linked with its malleability. Culture changes. Also, the study of culture is spread over several subject areas. So how we study culture in political science is very different from how the term is applied in anthropology, say, or sociology. For example, anthropology has its own concept of culture, involving the study of societies from the inverted commas third world or subjugated subcultures. So to this day, we see the 19th century's propensity to measure differences and values within contemporary anthropology. So culture is a relational term. Its historical use is derived from agriculture, the cultivation of animals, the cultivation of the soil. But when applied metaphorically, culture conveys a cultivation of the mind. During the 19th century, particularly through the work of Matthew Arnold, culture became defined as a search for spirituality rather than material goods. Culture became the appreciation of, and I'm sure you've heard this phrase before, the best that has been thought and said in the world. That phrase comes from Matthew Arnold. So the impetus behind the formation of a literary canon, you know, the great books, occurred when literature took on a greater social and political importance. So after industrialization in the 19th century, after the growth of cities, a middle-class fear was generated about an increasingly active and threatening working class. Cities became a place of fear. Religion was losing its power, and culture became the means by which control over the working class could be re-established. So the focus or the fear of mass society was a fear of a working class who was poorly educated but still able to read. This concern was cultural, but this concern was political, as civilized values offered an alternative to the trivial delights of the popular. Matthew Arnold's book Culture and Anarchy was first published in 1869. Within this book, culture was defined as harmonious perfection, that which was beautiful, graceful, becoming. So to understand culture was to understand that which was the best in culture. So this means, of course, that popular culture, is contradictory. It's produced by profit-motivated industries and follows its own economic interests. But it is also of the people. The people's interests are not always those of industry, but frequently empowered groups try to restrict and limit the circulation of particular texts, particular ideas. Sometimes that's called censorship. So these debates become incredibly important to the discussion of creativity through this course. Through the last 100 years, there have been assumptions that quality or high culture is derived from the creativity of individuals. It is pure. It is authentic. Distanced from the gritty hands of exploitative capitalism. Remember our poet in a garret? That's the image. By this same discourse, popular culture becomes trash, made by groups, not artists, and initiated not by creativity, but the forces of money-making managers. So ask yourself if the division between high culture and popular culture, creativity and commerce, individual artists and collective money-makers, is really as clear as these divisions may suggest. The goal of this course is to assess if the creative industries and the policies derived from them allow disempowered groups like young people, the gay and lesbian community, the working class, migrant and ethnic communities to renegotiate their social position, to gain a stable employment base, to gain some autonomy, and to make political change. We also ask, though, if creative industries simply allow old elites to maintain their definition of cultural value and their definition of power. So remember, there was one more word we were going to do in this section, and that word was literacy. I'm particularly interested in developing a definition of this word that allows us to interpret and understand the world. I want us to link text with context, or words with the world. Now, one of the major words, major ideas we look at through this course is literacy. Every week there'll be some mention of literacy. So while we'll be particularly managing this term in the context of the knowledge economy, it is important that you know that the many definitions of literacy that we're starting with in this course we'll come back to time and time again. Now, in many first-year courses that you're doing at Murdoch University, you'll hear the phrase critical literacy. This has become an aspirational phrase for a mode of reading that students should be actualising in universities. But concise definitions and applications of this term as well are incredibly ambiguous. What you're reading for me this week is a text by Mary Macken Horowick. Interesting name, but she's a fantastic theorist. Mary Macken Horowick. And she suggests that the term critical literacy, quote, problematizes the relationship between meaning making, that is reading and writing, and social processes, end of quote. So she constructs a model of literacy that moves through both life and the educational discourse. So this is interesting. I love this stuff. Mary Macken Horowick argues that critical literacy is not an add-on to literacy debates, but does require the initial development of more basic modes of literacy. So let me try and explain what this means. An everyday literacy, so that's the literacy we're dealing with now, if you like, with spoken language, cannot seamlessly or concurrently lead to higher modes of literacy. So this is important. She believes that we cannot learn to read and then critique or question what we read at the same time. So therefore, each mode and model of literacy has to move from a more basic mode to a more complex mode. We can't do the modes at the same time. So the consequences of Macken Horowick's model for those of us who actually teach, for those of us who learn, read and write, create, think, are clear. This means literacies cannot be transferred from a teacher to a learner. I can't give you my literacy. You're all starting in different places. I don't even know where I am. But instead, I have to access where you are, the literacy at which you are comfortable now, and move you through different stages. So that's why there are multiple paths through every reading, every assignment, every bit of writing that you do. Because I believe that diverse groups of students need to travel through literacy in their own way that recognises your experience and also moves you into a new social environment and new experiences. So in the sort of method that I'm applying here, literacy is not a problem to be solved, but instead it activates specific abilities, particular contexts, particular ways of being you, and your desires to be and live differently. So singular definitions of creativity, culture, literacy are not helping us much. Elite cultural values are embedded in most of our discussions of literacy. Literacy, creativity, all assume individual greatness, individual excellence, not collective social development. In this course, as we move through the creative industries of fashion, of music, of sport, of tourism, such definitions of elite culture, elite value, can't be sustained. Each media we're going to talk about requires specific attention and skills to determine its strengths and its weaknesses in the framing and shaping of information. With creativity, cultural value, and literacies aligned, we can now move to our next topic of the day, where we look at the term, the course, the lifestyle of creative industries. On we go to the next one.